Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tell you what, I'm not going to talk too long because I want us to just spend some time in the presence of the Lord. But one of the things I want to talk with you tonight is something just kind of in short that I've talked for the last couple of staff chapels, talking to our team about understanding God's plan for your life. Because I think it's really important that we live not as unwise, but wise. Paul says understanding what the will of the Lord is. That it's important for you and I to know God's will. Some people have a tendency to view the will of God like it's some mysterious, some kind of hidden thing. But the fact of the matter is, God wants you and I to understand His will, His purpose, His plan for our life. That God has created us with a purpose in mind, with a plan in mind. In Ephesians chapter 2, we know this, for we are God's masterpiece. And when you think of yourself, and most people don't think of themselves this way, but God views you as a masterpiece. Exactly, you are how He created you. And He created you with a plan, with a purpose in mind before he willed that plan, drew out that plan, purposed that plan before you were ever born. Look at it. So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. How long ago? In time before time began. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, a great reminder for us. For I know the plans I have for you. God has a plan for your life. You're not here by accident. You're here according to the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. In fact, I would suggest to you that while man has a will, God has a will, and His plan, His will, by His power working providentially, can steer and direct and many times take us where we never thought we'd go. It's His power. He has a plan for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan for your life. And then in Psalm 37 and verse 23, I love this psalm. And if you've been here very long, you know I quote it a lot because I just like it. I just think it's really a wonderful, wonderful reminder. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Do you realize that when you're walking with the Lord, He is directing your steps, whether you recognize it or not? I don't even have to be aware of it. I can just know by faith that He's doing it. Sometimes God heightens our awareness of His presence. Sometimes you sense a special grace. Sometimes you're aware that God is going before you. But oftentimes, when I'm going through my day, as I'm doing life, it's only when I look back that I say, oh my goodness, look what God did. God directing your steps. Not just your big steps, not just your big decisions. My, what a comfort this is to know, and what an encouragement to know, that God cares about every single detail of your life and my life. He delights in every detail of our lives. He's excited about your life. He cares about the details of your life and of my life. He's designed you with a plan in mind. He's guiding you to accomplish that plan. He cares about that outworking of that plan in your life. Then in Proverbs chapter 16, we read this. Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. I don't know about you, but that's a real comfort to me because I could make a lot of plans and so can you. And we can think that, you know, I would like it if my life went this way, and this way. I would like it if this situation worked out this way, and this way. We've got elaborate plans, right? But God has the last word. Does it bother you that God has the last word in your life? When you read that, do you think, well, wait a minute, I want to have the last word. Listen, when you know how much God loves you, then instantly you begin to rest in his care. He has the last word. Humans are satisfied with whatever looks good. That's what gets most of us in trouble is we say, well, you know, that looks like that's the right thing to do. That looks like the good thing to do. But the fact of the matter is God probes for what is good. We're too easily satisfied and often too easily detoured in our thinking. And so it's good to know that God is the one who's directing our steps. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. You know, it's really good for us to walk with that kind of not only rest in the Lord, but to walk with that kind of confidence in the Lord and that kind of sense that says, God, whatever you want, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I just want what you want in my life. I want you to bring about your purpose in my life. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. You and I got a lot of plans, don't we? We got plans for this and plans for that. We've got plans. Oh my, we have plans, but it's his purpose that prevails. I love the way the message puts it. The message says this: we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. We've got all kinds of plans. How many of you are glad that God's purpose prevails in your life? I mean, I talked about it Sunday, mentioned just in brief that when we were pioneering a church in Kansas City and it wasn't going so well, and there was a church that came open in Colorado, and somebody had kind of led me to feel, and I think sincerely so, they thought I had an inside shot at it, and I was like, this is the will of God. Pastoring a church on the Front Range in Denver, where the sunsets are always orange with a tint of blue. Close enough, I can preach and make it to Mile High. Boy, you know what? I was thinking, man, that would be an awesome thing to pastor in Denver. You know, I finagled, I tried. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose is what prevails. I was brainstorming options and plans, but the Lord's purpose prevailed. And now I look back and I say, wow, am I so glad that his purpose prevailed. That God overrode what I would have desired because he had a plan. Now, let me just say this. There's some here, and I realize that in a group of this size, everybody's on at a different place on the continuum of spiritual growth. So some of you maybe don't know the Lord yet. You've not yet given your heart to the Lord. Here's one of the most powerful things, aside from just having your sins forgiven and suddenly you're walking with God, is instantly you begin to look at life totally, totally different, because now you have a new heart and you have a renewed mind and you're walking close to the Lord, and all of a sudden God begins to work in the way that you process life, approach life, see life, and you begin to understand things about yourself you never knew before, and suddenly you begin to really find the purpose for which you were created. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how much you've achieved. And hey, thank the Lord for that. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know the reason for your creation. You just haven't yet experienced one of the most exciting things in your whole life outside of having your sins forgiven, knowing why God created you, why you're on the earth at this time, at this moment in history. You say, well, because I do all the things I do. No, you still haven't discovered it. Until you know him, you haven't discovered his plan. God has a plan for you. But then there are believers who've given their heart to Christ and they've just not yet come to terms with what that plan is or even thought about it. They just kind of do life. And that's a mistake, because God has a plan for you. You don't have to be you know, somebody that the world looks at as important to have a plan. God has a plan for your life. And what God does is God puts glimpses of his plan into your heart. Now listen to this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. So there's a time in the mind of God, a time for your existence, a time for you to meet him and to know him, and then a time for you to begin to understand his purpose for your life and to begin to live that out in your life. Look at this. He has planted eternity in the human heart. And I think a part of what that is saying, obviously, is this sense that this life is not all there is. That every single person, I think a person who's an atheist has to work really, really, really hard at coming to that place where they say they don't believe that there's anything after this life. They have to really defy their spirit and keep pushing down on that part of them that says, no, there is life after this life. We're an eternal being. So he's put eternity in our heart. But I think a part of that as well is that sense that God has a purpose for you, that God has a plan for you, that God has something he wants to do with your life, in your life, through your life. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So what happens is God gives us just a glimpse, and at times, and he puts it in our hearts at the most unique moments and places and times. But, and it's not just in church, though I would suggest to you that it's as we are lovers of God and we spend time in his presence, that that time in his presence and that worship of the Lord begins to open our heart to the prompting of the Lord that happens not only now, but could happen tomorrow morning, could happen at another time in your life. And God shows us, this is what I have for you in the future. For example, when I was 19, I went to Oral Roberts University while I was there. It's called in the ministry. I was wanting to be an attorney. So I'm at Oral Roberts University, and God just turns my world upside down in terms of just really, it was a time of just tremendous spiritual working in my life and a lot of time spent with the Lord and called into the ministry, and Debbie and I we're dating and we aren't yet engaged, and I go up to see her. She's living up in Wisconsin, and she's living in a town called Fond du Lac, and it's located on the southern shore of Lake Winnebago. So we're there at Lake Winnebago hanging out together and talking. We're talking about, you know, being called in the ministry. And I, in the course of our conversation, said, and, you know, I had not been raised in church necessarily. And certainly the church that I was saved in was a very small church. And so I said, well, you know, I feel like as a pastor that God's going to have me pastor a church of 1,000. And she was just like shocked by that, because like her parents had been in ministry. They'd never pastored that. Her uncle had been at the same church for 25 years. It was a great church, but they had 400 people. And she's like, who do you think you are? And I mean, that you think you would do that? And you know, so we had this little conversation on that kind of thing. But I really, all I could say was in my heart, I just felt like that's what God had for me. You say, well, why 1,000? I mean, it was the number I knew. I mean, I was like, that would be like over the top, unbelievable, amazing. And so there's times God puts things in your heart that you know are not just you. Now, I think a part of maturing in Christ is growing in our ability to differentiate between what's us and what's the Lord. Musicians, you can start to play, because we're going to. But one of the ways that I think that we increase our sensitivity to the Lord is by spending time with the Lord. The more you're with somebody, the more you know what somebody's thinking, even if they're not saying it right. Like there's times Debbie and I are going down the road and I'll say something and she'll say, that's so weird. I was thinking about that or about that person or about, and I'd never you know, we hadn't been thinking or talking about them previously, or she'll do it. But see, when you're with somebody or you're in a conversation, you can look just out of the corner of your eye, you can look at one another, and you know exactly what that person's thinking, you know, because you're doing, you've spent so much time together. You know, it's like that with the Lord. That's why the psalmist says this in Psalm 25 and verse 14. God friendship is for God worshipers. They are the ones he confides in. I love that verse. You know what? When you and I are worshiping the Lord, what happens is we're sensitizing our spirit to God. And this is the value of the prayer meeting. This is the value of being in church as often as you can, as much as you can, and having your own devotional life, is the more you're in the presence of the Lord by yourself and with others, the more you're exposed to the various workings of God's spirit in this place. You're hearing a word from the Lord. You're sensing what God is doing. And there's certain services where there's just a uniqueness to the service. For example, Sunday morning, I came out of the second service here. There was a unique grace in the service. I can't explain it. You say, well, I went to the first service. What did I miss? You missed that special grace. I mean, that's what you missed. And, you know, I mean, I just walked out there and I said, there was something unique that was going on in that service. They're just times. And so when you're in the presence of the Lord, what happens is it's sensitizing your spirit to sense the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life and to sense the purpose of God, the stirring of God in your life. I mean, it's very, very interesting. I'm going to throw this, the screen people, so they may not have this verse. It's the very last verse in my notes, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 5. Just as you cannot understand, way to go, aren't they awesome? Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of the tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. I mean, you know, there, you know, how God works, you can't understand everything, but you can sense his moving. Finally, let me say this. Worship increases, it heightens. God friendship is for God worshipers. They're the ones he confides in. Acts 13, remember when Paul and Barnabas are there, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So God is speaking. God is making his will known. I'm just saying to you tonight, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Do you understand God's plan? Do you have a glimpse of what God wants to do? There's a whole lot more I'd like to say. The staff can tell you, talk for an hour and a half on it. So there's a lot that I think's important for people to know on this. But it begins with having a sense, what is it that is God's plan for your life? Sometimes I think we get too caught up, though we should seek the Lord for everything, we get too caught up in some of the things like, you know, should I go here, should I go there, should I do this? And really we need to back up and get the macro picture instead of the micro picture of, God, what is it, what are you putting into my heart? What do you want to do in my life? What did you create me for? And I would suggest to you that a lot of that can be found right now in the present, in this time, and in this place, and in this church. You're a part of the church. So God's will for you right now is straight up to jump in and to be as much a part of what God is doing now as you possibly can. You say, well, I got a job. I don't get paid to hang out at the church like you do. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I know what people think. I mean, I know what people think. Let me just tell you this. There is something that happens when you give yourself. The more you give yourself to the work that God is doing in a time and a place, the more you'll understand God's work in you. Now, that's just true. Whether you're in vocational ministry or not, the more you give yourself to what God is doing in a time and a place, the more you'll understand God's work in you. You were created with a plan in mind. Many are the plans in a man's heart. You might have a whole lot of plans in your heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Know his plan, walk in it, and watch the grace of the Lord, the attendant supernatural power of God come into your life, because he is going to help you accomplish his plan, not your plan. He's going to help you accomplish his plan for you, not your plan. And your greatest joy, lest you be like, well, wait a minute, I like my plan. Your greatest joy, your greatest fulfillment, your greatest moments in this life will be living in the center of his will and knowing that and watching him work.